goodness, another day has come. I think in another 7 or 8 hours it'll go. I just don't know. This 1:32, 2:30 in the morning stuff is just about killing me. But there's much to be done. Good evening and welcome to another hour of life, liberty, and all that jazz. All that we speak of here has to do with our lives or what's left of them or what we make of them. Liberty is something that I believe that few people understand, number one. And having no understanding of it means that they don't have any. And, of course, all that jazz is, well, it makes reference to far more than just the music we play here. I'm your host for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You are listening to us live on this 29th day of June. One more day, the year will be half gone. And I'd like to believe for a moment that that's one day closer to the demise or the walking out the back door of Uncle Reem Us, George Kingfish Stevens, whatever you want to call him, the usurper. Maybe you want to call him by what he in his own mind likes to think is his rightful name, Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru, whatever. You're listening to us live this evening on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are very glad to have you here. When I say we, it's Wednesday. It's middle of the week, sometimes for some of you known as over the hump day. My good friend and co-host for Wednesdays, Roger Sales. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. I'm about halfway here, as you might can hear from my voice.
You needed to be maybe staying away from the grape and finding yourself a little bit of that good French stuff, a little Cabassier, I think, would help clear your problems up.
I don't know about that. I don't know that the grape was my problem. I think that the grippe was my problem.
Which yes, we talked about that.
The flu. So, and it's been pretty brutal since Saturday, but I'll suffer through this if y'all can suffer through it from this delivery, nasal and scratchy as it is.
Well, we have about seconds before we go to the break, and when we come back, I want to open with a commentary that will take just a few moments. You will certainly recognize it and understand it, and we'll let you comment from there. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, 1 heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Actually, I'm glad we've come back with this piece. I need a little bit of upbeat stuff. During the break, Roger and I were discussing music in general and a particular artist. And those of you who've been with us all week know that Monday, I did something I never do, which is to play a complete piece by one artist after coming out of the bottom of the break. I've actually sent a piece up to our producer tonight and requested something similar to happen. So hopefully he's got it. We'll roll with it. And you'll hear a little bit more about her. She's simply amazing. Let me share with you quickly. Every week when Roger comes on with us, it leads to other questions. It leads to, in some cases, other answers. What I am finding is it leads to a massive number of emails, more and more of them each week. And what has become shocking to me is Roger's been coming on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz now since early April, so we've had roughly 3 months with a little bit of hiatus. And we are waking some people up. I am absolutely shocked at the not only the response we're getting to this appearance each week, but we're finding that the listening audience is jumping on the bandwagon and taking action on behalf of themselves, which is much of what Roger is trying to teach with these programs. Over the last several weeks, we have shared with you some questions and some comments by a listener named Joe Schmo. I want to share these comments with you. He said, "Today I sat in on some trials in two courtrooms. Each time I entered quietly. Each time I was told to take off my hat within seconds of sitting down. A woman sitting on the bench said it was disrespectful to the judge. No admin present yet. I said, ma'am, there has not been a judge in America since 1789, only administrators. The hat stayed on. Each case the guards for men in hats never showed like they said they would. Anyway, he continues, they expect you to stand at attention when they call your name to enter your plea. After that, the deal maker calls you over to the double swinging half doors with his finger. He describes them as doors like a cattle chute. They're not going to like me very much, and my demeanor will confuse them. Already has with the hat. You taught me the way to no fear, Roger. You have no idea how much you mean. I believe the word here is probably dyslexic, man. Words have always been a little weird for me, scary, certainly with law. So I had to listen over and over to grasp your words. I quit my job without notice, something I don't do, and I went to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee for a month or so, and then the Black Mountains for a couple of weeks, just to fully ingest your concepts. You rock. Signed, Joe Schmo." Rod, is this what makes it all worthwhile?
I would say, if I can, that it brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because it is what all of this is for. And, you know, that's what I've been trying to tell people. And they say, what do you study? What do you? Well, you know, the first thing you got to get as a concept is you've got to make this information yours. Okay? And it's not about filing papers. It's not about getting out of taxes. It's about gaining the rights that God brought you into this world to have and being one of his beings. And you can only do that if you know and understand and internalize these concepts correctly, not the incorrect misinformation that there's an over, quite frankly, an overabundance of floating around. But to get back to simple, basic, timeless, immutable principles and build yourself an understanding with a basis, just like a house, with a foundation, with all the things that go on top of it, and you put the roof on last. You know, you don't build a house by building the roof first.
It is interesting that you put it that way. I, many, many years ago, when you and I, probably before we first met, when Robbie and I were working together on WWCR for another company that's no longer in business, I used to talk to people about that, about a financial foundation, that you don't start by building a roof and then coming back and throwing the walls up and say, okay, let's go ahead and throw the roof on top of the walls. Hey, gee, we forgot a foundation. Let's dig out around there, and then we'll go ahead and pour. You always start with the foundation, and you have to build up. And that's, you know, it's the three little piggies syndrome, man. And it's no different in what you're talking about.
It's like, I got out of taxes. I was thinking about this the other night. Something stuck with me, you know, for a long time. This is kind of funny. Or maybe I've just got a perverted sense of humor. Remember John Madden?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's dead now, right? But he had a great sense of humor. Back, I don't know, it was in the 60s or 70s when he was doing that commenting, and they were first starting to get all those European soccer kickers into for field goal kickers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him saying something. Says, the guy says, I'm going to kick a touchdown. I'm going to kick a touchdown. And it's just like, this, I'm going to file for taxes. I'm going to get out of taxes. Well, you know, you miss the whole thing because it's all this other stuff. It's the taxes. It's like being an alcoholic, you know. Being an alcoholic is not the problem. Being an alcoholic is a symptom of the problem. You're an alcoholic because there's some problem you're trying to cover up.
This is a
symptom, a cause and effect thing here. And you got to go back in and you got to do a little study, you know. I mean, one of your friends, Richie, Connick.
Yeah. Our good friend.
He's wanting to talk, and I want to talk to him. He seems like a nice guy, and we got some lot of things in common, I think, without knowing each other. One of those friends you've never met kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to because, quite frankly, I've felt like pretty much hammered monkey poop all week, and I'm trying to save my voice to see if we can get through this hour. And he's going, what can I study? And, you know, let me give the you that are just coming in on this, because we've been doing this for 3 months, and this started back on April 4th, 5th, and 6th, three successive nights on Jeff's show, and the entire concept was laid out in those three nights, and they're in the archives, and you can go back and get those, and you're just going to have to go back and listen to them, or else you're going to have to wait a couple of weeks until we can get this book out, and I'll give you a little more update on that in a bit. And those dates are 4-4, 4-5, and 4-6, all right? Now, that's the first time I'd given that presentation in probably 15 years,
All
right? So I was nervous a little bit. I was trying to make sure I covered all that. I, you know, thought we had time limitations. I probably talked too fast. I do anyway. I know this material very well because I've lived it for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I understand it goes way over people's heads, especially initially. All right. And you're going to have to work it. You know, freedom ain't free. Okay.
No,
it's going to take a little bit of work on your part. And a little bit of sacrifice, and you're going to have to, you know, have that little two-word phrase called personal responsibility, because if you're not free, you're dependent on somebody else, and that's when you're sucking on the government tit. And if you want to be free, you got to go in and have some personal responsibility, you know. It's like old George Gordon used to say. He said, I don't want any of their insurance. That's limited liability. Mm-hmm. I want personal responsibility, you know? And if I harm you and I can't pay you, drill a hole in my earlobe and I'll be your slave, all right?
Right,
I want personal responsibility. Because that's the only way that I'm responsible for my actions. And that's the only way I learn.
Well, I think it's the only way anybody learns. You don't learn by sitting in a classroom having somebody lecture to you. You learn by doing, by activity, by action.
And by feedback, either good if you did good or bad if you did bad. You know, if you stick your hand in the fire and get burned, you're probably not going to want to do that again.
No.
Unless you're just kind of a masochist kind of person. And there's some of them out there like that. But the other thing I wanted to say is this. I also did 3 shows on a program that's in I don't want to say in remission because they just had some problems over the summer. But Jerry and Jenny had a show in the daytime called The Freedom Frenzy, and that's a 2-hour format. And the dates on that, if you want to download those, are 4/27, 4/28, and 4/29. And I was a little bit better the second time around, and I restructured some things. My goal here is to try and get people up to speed on this as quickly as possible. And it's so difficult for people because you're having to go in and reorient all of your thinking. For many of you, you're going to start learning about real law for the first time. You know, I listened to all these programs a lot of times on your station and on others. And I never hear anybody talk about the legal definition of person, you know, an entity to whom the law ascribes rights and duties. Now, that goes back to Gaius. If you don't know who Gaius is, he's the guy that's attributed in Rome to founding the law. You know, he'd lean over the water and talk with marbles in his mouth. That was Gaius. That's the legend, you know.
Yeah,
and
right.
So all law pertains to persons. Now, let me repeat that. All, A-L-L, total, all law pertains to persons. And you can only access a thing, which is what we would call property, a thing, through the medium of a person. So do you think maybe the concept of person might be important?
I would suspect it would be.
And you never hear anybody talk about it. I mean, never. So that's the kind of things that we go
Is it a semantics? Is it a language problem? You know, about, you're saying, does anyone ever talk about a person being important? Wouldn't you suspect they're important? And yet, obviously, I'm not going to say our government, but that government or the government certainly does not look upon any people or persons to be important any longer other than to feed and line their own pockets.
Well, what I'm talking about is the legal concept of persons,
right,
of a person having rights and duties. And if you don't get any rights, you don't have any correlative duties. So you're talking about, I just heard 2 hours of national citizenship, federal citizenship. I didn't hear one term about rights and duties. If you don't receive any rights from the federal government, you don't owe any correlative duties, because that's the basic formulation of law. R plus D equals R. That's the basic concept of law. Rights plus duties equal remedies. Rights and duties are inseparable. You can't have one. You never get rights. You always get correlative duties. So if you don't get any rights from the federal government, i.e. civil rights, you don't owe any correlative duties. If you don't owe any correlative duties, because all of these regulations they're enforcing you on, the TSA making a 95-year-old woman get her baby diaper off, the Forex can't trade in gold and silver, the Indiana Supreme Court telling you they can bust in your homes without a warrant, guess what? Those are all for residents, man. Those are all for residents. So if you're not a resident and you don't have any of those civil rights, you don't owe those duties. And if you don't have any duties owed or any rights given, they've got no jurisdiction. How much more basic do you need to get here? It's not rocket science. It's confusing. You've never been exposed to these things. You know, Jeff, I used to try and tell people, I said, you know, they call law a science for a reason. And I'd have, a bunch of lawyers, gobbledygook and words. And yeah, and it is. And the reason it's a science is because just like mathematics or just like biology, 2 + 2 = 4. And those words have to mean things. And they have to mean specific things. Because you're going into these courtroom settings and these judgments where multi-billions of dollars could be at stake or no telling lives or anything else. And everybody has to be on the same page as to what that word means. And mm-hmm. when you've got that kinds of specificity and that kinds of exactness, that is a science.
Interesting. Well, you know, we back to this for just a moment, this reference, this legal definition of the word person. We are back to what you've talked to us about. We're back to the difference between basketball and hockey.
And I wanted to mention, too, and I meant the other week, I saw Billy Fouts use that in that little video he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure somebody's influenced by John's teaching somewhere along the way, because that's where I got that, quite frankly.
Sure.
Hey, you know, some of this stuff's original from me, but most of it's from my teachers, all right? I have brilliant teachers who are totally dedicated, selfless, selfishless. And that's really true. See, we don't know the game they're playing. We're coming in thinking we play basketball. They're coming in and they're playing hockey. And they're beating us up with these sticks. And you're getting hit with that little hard rubber thing going 120 miles an hour. And you're going, damn, that thing hurts. That basketball's not supposed to hurt like that. They go, well, we're not playing basketball, idiot. See, we just don't know the rules. And that's hopefully what I'm trying to do is to get you to, first of all.
Right.
First of all, a mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open. Okay? So you got to go back and wipe all of this dis and misinformation out and consider yourself like a babe in the woods. And for a lot of new people that are just coming on to here, you're lucky because you don't have to go back and undo all that stuff that all these people have funneled you. And I'm not saying it was malicious. They probably thought that they were right and that that stuff was accurate and that you are under admiralty law because you were gestated in a water sack in your mother's womb for 9 months and you came down a canal into the world, so you're on to admiralty law. Now, like I've said numerous times, that's a little bit of a stretch, and I never hear anybody giving any kind of backup to that because, quite frankly, there isn't any. And if you're selling a book with that kind of stuff in there, I hope, like Schindler's Lists, that it had a big F on the spine because that is fiction, okay?
Well, it's interesting. We talk about words. We talk about understanding. We talk about legal definitions. We talk about words having two different meanings depending on which side of the corporate line in the sand one happens to be standing on, I guess is a simple way to put it. And yet here is a man who, in his own words, claims to be dyslexic. And has openly said, words have always been a little weird for me, scary, certainly with law. And yet in this 2.5 months that we've been doing this, this man has grasped something. He's gone off to sit in the mountains and ingest or digest all of this, and he's doing something with it. This is the third week in a row we've had commentary from this guy, and it gets more interesting every week. With the,
really?
And of course, you know, the discussions that are ongoing with, I believe it's David up in, Idaho and, certainly several others. And, we're going to go to a break in a few minutes. And when we come back, I have one other, commentary that was sent to us. I shared it with Roger yesterday and frankly, he was blown away and I forwarded it down to him. Very interesting guy who appears to be relatively new to, listening to the alternative media, but I could be mistaken there. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm sharing these not to fill up airtime, but to share with our audience what others are seeing and how they're perceiving what it is that we're attempting to do on this program with Roger every week. And I hope that just little bits and pieces of what are being shared are getting through to you, that you've been lied to, you've been deceived, you've been conned. It's all for a very specific reason. It is control. It is a different form of enslavement. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you made reference to an earring or something once before. It's a nose ring, in my estimation.
It is a nose ring.
And they're just hauling us around by it. And we're just sitting like a bunch of bobblehead dolls in the back of a 62 Chevy pickup truck. And we're nodding along. This is what the Congress did when Greenspan would sit there and give his nonsense.
And you're sitting there going, it's unconstitutional. That's against my Fourth Amendment. That's against my Fifth Amendment. Hey, man, you ain't got no Fourth and Fifth Amendment. You're a piece of property. You're a slave. Slave?
Yeah.
So struggle like a bull, and we're going to pull you with that ring in your nose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and struggle. We're going to pull you right down into this chute.
That was the interesting in Joe's comment about being in the court where the so-called deal maker calls you over to the double swinging half doors, doors like a cattle chute. I mean, the cat just hit the nail on the head. So,
man, there's the guy with the gun that shoots that bolt right into your forehead. Boom.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's, that's what I said. You know, the part of this, my main goal in getting this out here is for it to fall on God's people's ears and heart. Because it's just like Joe, and Joe's a great example. Because he, through all of this other stuff, he found a grasp of truth here. And that seed got planted in him, okay?
Yes.
And what did it do? What did he say? I am fearless. What have I told you? This is empowering information because all of a sudden you've got the truth and you can confront these creeps with the truth and a remedy and they can't rebut it and they can't do anything except either enforce the laws the way they've written them, enforced them, because now you know how they're written and enforced and being used, or else they're going to take the mask off and let's have a little fiesta.
That's it. That's it. Well, it's getting interesting by the week, and I'm not sure if we're, you know, all that we're doing together here is living up to your expectations yet, or if it's exceeding it, or you're encouraged. I know darn well you're encouraged by the kind of responses you've had and some of the people you've been able to meet. Some of these people, like Richie, I've known for a good number of years and long-time listener.
Let me say something.
Yeah.
Well, I've said this before. Let me just reiterate this. I don't have to be doing this. Okay?
I know that.
I could have walked away. I could enjoy this wonderful place I live and this wonderful lifestyle and culture and stuff down here. I don't have to be doing this. I do it out of duty because rights and duties, and God gave me these rights, and I owe a correlative duty because I understand it, and I'm trying to inform his people and empower.
We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Leave it to Dan to bring me some Renee Olstead.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain meal will be passed down through generations.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Talking about walking down the street and looking down and looks on their faces of impending doom. I didn't even choose that song because of that. Melody Gardot.
She's an exceptional talent. She's got a really, really satin voice.
Yeah, very much. Some people have referred to it as smoky. I think you earlier, somebody had even compared her possibly to Nina Simone. I mean, there's a lot of interesting qualities about her. And
I'll tell you what else blew me away, because I'm a guitar player a few years myself, and she's a heck of a guitar player on one or two of those clips.
Well, you also see she's a heck of a pianist as well. She's quite multi-talented.
I haven't seen that.
Well, let's kind of go back. I want to share a letter that came to me the other night from Joe P. I shared this with Roger the other night. It said, Jeff, thank you for forwarding the affidavit, and thanks to Roger for allowing it and for composing it. So now my work begins, a new vocabulary, a new ear and eye. We're all aware of those who have attempted to lead the way before meeting less than favorable outcomes. The question, where did they misrepresent, fail to fully understand? Clearly, some truly did error. Others were our truly victims of injustice. Carefully descend down the rabbit hole we must. Damn red pill. Never imagined I'd have to study law to win the freedom I never knew I never had. And when you think about it historically, has anyone ever really been successful at such a freedom for more than a brief time? Oh, sure, Christ, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, maybe. I mean, a time where a man or woman was in total control over their productive effort of his or her choice without interference from some PTB. Still, it's impossible to find yourself on the plantation, find out you do not live in the big house, and sleep well. I look forward to Roger's book. Thank you both for your support in what is in reality the classical biblical struggle between good and evil. Stay well. Signed, Joseph.
It is. That's a very poignant letter, Joseph. And you know, listen, that kind of feedback just you know, is great motivation for me, because it makes all of this worthwhile. Because it's, I know that I'm touching people's lives, and we're touching people's lives with the truth, and hopefully we're going to change some lives out there. Maybe we even may change some things. I don't know. That's going to be up to you guys. I think there's some powerful remedies here, because I've seen them work, and I know they work, at least at this point. And they may not work for long. Who knows? We're all in a crapshoot here in that regard. But as soon as we can get this printed material out, and you folks can have a little bit of time to study this and internalize it, because it takes a little bit of time. You're not going to just grab this and grasp it overnight. You got to totally reorient your way of thinking, because the illusion they've created is by turning everything 180 degrees. And you got to go back and figure that out, and then start sifting through and going through each one of these layers and untying those knots in your mind and getting things from an illusion to reality. You know, you were talking about biblical, and he said it is. It's just like that Cicero quote from the, what did Cicero say? From the foundings of the sons. Okay? The only way you get your rights is through God or from man. Now that was said to 200 years or 150 years before Christ was born. Okay? So we're talking pretty timeless and pretty immutable. All right? Now, my little guideline here has always been this. It's fairly simple. God's plan is freedom. Satan's plan is slavery. If you got another way to describe it or understand it, please shoot me an email. Let me know. Okay? But that's about it. I try and take these complicated things and break them down to the simplest, most understandable, common denominator concepts that people can grasp. Okay? And I have a talent for that. And I try and utilize that in getting this information across to you. I've gotten great response back from the people that are working on the book with me. And, you know, one of them's a dear friend of mine. The guy that's doing the editing and writing the foreword is this a dear friend of mine. He's highly successful, all right? Highly successful, self-made. We met through me giving this presentation 18 years or so ago. I've been talking this stuff to him for 18 years, because we've been great friends, and he's just now getting it. I mean, he's calling me on the phone like a kid, like a teenager that's got a hold of his first date. Okay? So I know that all of a sudden, all these years, it was like I've told you before, it's like beating your head against a wall, because it feels so good when you stop. And I just stopped for a while. Because I knew that at some point, the American people, things would get so bad that people would be ready to listen. And that's where we are now. It's obvious. I mean, and this isn't any derogatory thing on Jeff. I've been trying to tell Jeff this stuff since we met in 1998.
Yeah, he has. I fully admit to that.
And you know, oh, yeah, right. You know, just you're all busy in your own thing, and you're just, oh, yeah, here's some crazy guy talking about surfs. And you know, hey, man, this is what's happening. Okay, I can prove it. I've done it. I got the proof. I got the remedy. It works. Okay, listen, let's use that as a segue, Jeff, because I want to talk about this little article you sent me on this guy named, what's his name here? Alicia Dawkins. Alicia Dawkins is a Marine. Should I just read this? This is fairly short. I hate to read stuff, but let me read this because it's important, okay? It says, Alicia Dawkins graduated in August from nursing school in Jacksonville. He put on hold his plans for taking the board exams because the Navy called him into action as a photographer. Excuse me, he wasn't a Marine. I guess he's a Navy guy. Dawkins photographed happenings at Guantanamo Bay, an act that's evidence he's a trusted member of the military with top secret clearance. Now Dawkins, a Navy reservist and decorated Army combat photographer who served in Iraq, is in jail, charged with passport fraud. He's facing 10 years.
No, I love this. Passport fraud. This is not a guy who stood up and said, I'm not going to follow Obama's orders because I don't think he belongs to be president. No, this guy gets nailed for what they call passport fraud. Now, this is how we began, so let's continue.
Now, And then what did I, how did we start this thing with that affidavit sent to the State Department, okay, and their application. And right up the top, it says if you can, attach documentation, but if there's anything wrong with here, we're going to, you know, geld you and take your firstborn male child, throw you in jail and fine you and all. And they'll do that. I mean, this is pretty well evidence right here. But passport fraud. He's facing 10 years in prison for what could have been a simple misunderstanding. Suddenly, he's picked up and thrown in jail when it's time for this senator to start asking questions, and that's Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat of Florida. Nelson has questions echoing by Dawkins' friends, including Diane Reinhart. It's a travesty. We're trying to stop it, Reinhart said. Reinhart went through nursing school with Dawkins and is a veteran herself. She's upset about the trouble her friend is in. In sharing his story with other vets, Reinhart said that lots of people who don't know Dawkins can't believe it. I'm going to tell you, there's probably a lot of people going to listen to this right now that don't believe this either, but this is true, okay? We're all appalled that how can you serve this country and be more dedicated to the ideals of this country and serve this country and then be told, guess what, you made a little clerical error, you're out of here. And yeah, that's a travesty, Reinhart said. Hey, we haven't got to the punchline here yet, audience. A federal indictment states that Dawkins started to fill out a passport application in 2004, didn't complete it, and then filled out a new application 2 years later. On that new application, he checked a box no for the question, have you ever applied before, according to the indictment. Dawkins got the passport, but 3 months ago, the government issued a warrant for his arrest. He was taking photos for the Navy at the time. When Dawkins got back to the U.S. in April, he was arrested about a week later and has been in jail for 2 months since. The State Department is implying there's something more. I want to know, and that's why I've written them, Nelson said. We've sent emails through our standard home family email chains throughout the country, Reinhart said. The more attention we bring to this, the more people will see this is a disservice. Dawkins' attorney calls the case an absurd prosecution, saying that filling out a no box did not mean criminal charges. Because the trial is scheduled for next month, if Dawkins is still in jail at that point, he will insist on going to trial. A pre-trial hearing Tuesday in Miami is the next step. Now, you don't think they take this passport application stuff serious? Do you think if that application and that affidavit I sent and have gotten two, and I'm about to get a third one, if you don't think that there was one thing wrong with what I sent them, they'd have slammed me from here to kingdom come? Por favor.
You know, it's been interesting because as I begin to better understand all that you have been teaching us these last few months, as you well know, I'm loading you up with more and more things that seem to have a little twinge of having something to do with this. You know, 6 months ago, if I'd have gotten that piece, I probably wouldn't have sent it to you. But going through this lesson plan as you have been taking us, you begin to become far more aware of this stuff. And I have to share an email that just came in to you from Rex. That came into me. He says, Jeff, do not be afraid of repetition with Roger's info. I think you could have him repeat his presentation every week, and I would get more out of it every time. Thanks so much. This is some of the best info I've ever heard.
Rex, I'm going to tell you something, man. I've been living this stuff for 18 years, and I'm still learning on a daily basis almost. This is continuing. This is a growth thing. It isn't something like you just get knighted with and go on off. That's what makes this so powerful.
It's amazing. Did you ever think that, you know, 20 years ago when you started this, that we'd eventually get it to this point?
I had no idea.
I know you wanted to.
When I sat down, I'll tell you the honest truth. I went to see these guys. I'd just gotten into the tax movement. Within 2 or 3 weeks, I've become aware of this through some Phil Marsh stuff and a guy named Al Carter. Some of you old timers remember these names. And I'd seen enough to know that there was a guy out there named Bill Benson who had done all this 16th Amendment work and written these books. And I thought, boy, that's really noble. This guy is great. He's got some proof here. And somebody called me that had turned me on to all this stuff originally and said, There's a tax meeting. It's this guy Benson. And I thought, oh, man, it's this guy Bill Benson that's disproved the 16th Amendment. I want to go see him. So I go over to see Bill Benson, and this little portly, unassuming little guy walks in the room, and it ain't Bill Benson. It's a guy named John Benson. And he's the most unassuming person that you've ever seen in your life. If you passed him on the street, you'd go, well, there's just another, you know, little kind of chubby little guy, you know. And he gets up on stage, and he rips his shirt open, and there's a big S on his chest. And the guy's, and he changed my life, okay? And all this stuff, just like most of you that's hearing this for the first time, it goes so far over your head because it's totally different from anything you've ever been presented before. But if you're God's people, you know that there's something of substance here, see? And that's what drove me, is I knew there was something of substance here from what they were talking about, because they backed everything up. And so I did it initially to get out of taxes, just like everybody else, and because I was curious. And because ever since being a child in the 60s at LSU and all the Vietnam stuff and everything that happened there and all the big the demonstrations on the parade grounds and all of those things that were happening in the social upheaval days. Mm-hmm. And I always knew something was wrong. I just never knew what it was. And this was the first thread that I ever had to start following where I could start unraveling in my own mind and satisfaction that what the hell's going on. And so at first I kind of did it as a game. And it was like, because I like to press the envelope on things. And I thought, well, I'll just kind of see if I can just keep out of the system. Well, as you get along, you start realizing what John had told us is this isn't about taxes. Okay? It's just it's the common denominator because everybody's concerned with their wallet. And everybody, you can get their attention talking about them, somebody stealing their money. But it ain't about taxes. It's just like alcohol and the symptom of the problem. Taxes are a symptom of the problem. The problem is you're a slave. The taxes are they're extracting your labor. Okay? So that's the relationship. It's a cause and effect thing. And the more you get into this and the more you see it and you apply it to your personal lives, the more you're going to grow. And the more you grow, the more confidence you get. And the more confidence you get, the more powerful you are. And I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing, nothing in the world like being personally empowered. Let me tell you what. I'm not scared of any of these creeps. I'll go right up toe to toe with them and have. And I've beaten them every time with truth.
It's interesting. Two things. I received a call from our mutual friend Tommy the other day telling me about how he was sitting out on his porch having a cup of coffee and witnessed an accident. And, you know, a bunch of people gathered around where this accident was. Some little kid got hit or something. I don't know. And he kind of walked over there to see what was going on, and pretty soon the cops come up, and of course he didn't call them cops. He referenced them as something else, but they started getting in everybody's face. Did anybody here see the accident or actually witness it? And of course somebody points out at Tommy, and they come up and start literally trying to make time. You know, well, what did you see? What were they driving? Well, it was a blue truck. What kind? Well, I don't know. He said, what do you mean you don't know? Why don't you know? He said, because I didn't have my glasses on. I was sitting up on my porch. And this cop starts talking to Tommy as if he were the crook here, almost as if maybe he'd been driving the truck. Unbelievable. And the guy tried to, you know, start accosting Tommy and asking and demanding information. Tommy basically told him to bite it. He went home. Pretty soon, the cop supervisor comes up to Tommy's house and starts harassing him. But the point is Tommy has grown a pair over the years, and he doesn't tolerate that stuff. And that's pretty much what you're saying. You know what your rights are. You know what's right and wrong. you stand up for it. A question's come in, once again from Rex. He says, in regards to Roger's info, what happens after I file the affidavit? Does the state take away my driver's license and cancel my auto license plates? How do I drive my car without unwanted police problems?
Well, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you what I've told you before. A lot of this stuff is unplowed ground, and a lot of it is not easy. And I think I've got some general concepts as to how maybe collectively people could work in some sort of a, I like to call it a Gandhi-like, nonviolent, non-confrontational approach to this. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some kahunas, okay? And that's why, you know, it's like when Richie was saying, what do I do? First thing you do is start studying this material, and you make this yours. Okay, you got to eat, sleep, drink, walk, and talk this stuff, okay, because you got to go in and totally, it's the old Mark Twain quote, it ain't what I know that's killing me, it's what I know that ain't so. And you got to go get all that ain't so stuff out of there and get into the stuff that's true and accurate and correct that you can base your stance that's timeless and immutable principles of law that they can't argue with, or else they're going to come and have to revert back to Mao. And Mao is, his saying was, all law comes from the barrel of a gun. We're either going to follow the laws the way you've written them and applied them for all these years because we understand how you're doing it now, or else we're going to have a little fiesta because we got a bunch more of them than you do.
Well,
I'm not advocating that, all right? Please don't get the wrong idea. But I think there's a solution here. But we got to get this information out, and we got to get some people educated. And then, and I'm not going to tell you what to do, and I'm not going to do any of that stuff. This is your decision. You're the one that's got to live with the consequences. This is personal responsibility. If you live this and feel that burning desire to follow this, you're the one that's got to make the decision, because you're the one that's got to do it, and you're the one that's got to live with consequences, whatever they may be, and I don't know what they may be, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they're going to be otherwise. I know that it's like that Winston Churchill quote. He says, sometimes it's better to fight than to live as a slave, to die as a slave.
Right.
I don't know, man. All I know is I'm a concept guy. I'm not going to go in and say this statute and that statute, because quite frankly, I hate reading all that crap. All right. I want to go in and tell
you. It's like we talked about last week. That's part of the problem, is that so many of the people over the years that I've listened to on the alternative media, and there have been numerous hosts, and everybody's got their little niche. They want to talk about strictly Social Security, or, you know, the 16th Amendment here and the 14th here and the 10th here. And like you said, what's the big point? You can sit there and talk about these things all you want. All you're talking about is a historical concept, because these things don't exist any longer in the way they were meant to exist. So the fact of the matter is that people have got to stop wasting their time with that crap and pay attention to, you brought up the fact that you're a concept guy. You share basic information. Obviously, a lot of people out there feel that, oh, gee, we got to get the book. We got to have the video. Well, that stuff will come in time. And when it's ready, you're going to hear about it right here on this program. But
now,
you've got, you know.
I was going to say, sorry for interrupting. Hopefully that's going to be real soon. We're making some concerted progress on that. And maybe here within the next few weeks in July, we're going to make that announcement. So cross your fingers.
Yeah, the point is, do you want the
Godspeed
thing done,
right, here,
or do you want it in comic book form? You know, that's the whole point.
I don't care about it being a coffee table hardcover book. I care about it being something that people can grasp and read and study and understand and think about and hopefully apply. And all the fancy trappings and all that stuff, I don't really care about. I care about this information and these concepts getting into you people, God's people's hands. I hear Dan hollering back there.
Yeah.
Okay, so... He's having one of those moments. Man, we could go on for 2 hours because I got a bunch of stuff to talk about here tonight. So anyway, we've just gotten off on some of this tonight, and I guess this is what we needed, because I think God guides us how we're supposed to be guided. But I would encourage you, if you're just getting tuned on to all this stuff, and I know there's new people listening every day, okay, and finding the network and finding the truth and realizing that there's answers to all of the questions that they hadn't been able to figure out. Go back in the archives. Get those shows. Sit down and listen to them. Listen to them over again. Study them. I've gotten emails back from people saying, I'm making copies and handing them out to all my friends. I'm telling everybody I know about this. Well, that's the kind of thing that we need, okay? That's what you're going to have to do to spread this. And I think we get enough people educated. I think there's some solutions out there that's going to yank a knot slapping these people's tails.
Yeah, right.
They can't deny it. They cannot deny it. It's like Dave Paxson said when he wrote us that verse about going to the Supreme Court and all that stuff. He said, there's nothing they can do about it. Let me tell you why there's nothing they can do about it. Lewis Hughes gave me a big piece of this puzzle. Just him and I have been talking a little bit. Lewis is a good guy. I'm sure he's listening tonight. And I want to give you credit for this. In the Law of Nations, it says everybody has the right of personal self-determination in their political status. It may not say that exactly like that, but that's what it means. You've got the right of personal determination in your political status, and that's what you're doing here, but you're doing it correctly, okay? And they can't deny it.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this begins to unfold. I really want to extend this invitation for those of you who are out there listening, people like Joe and Rex and the Candy and her husband and the rest of you who've been asking questions and commenting. You know, I will forward those on to Roger once you've established that email connection with him. Then, you know, you certainly can direct those questions in that fashion. I kind of like to stay into it because, number one, it gives me an idea just how we're affecting the way the audience is thinking. To be honest with you, it also tells me a lot about the caliber of the people that are listening to this program. And my God, we're out of time already. The music's here. Raj, man, I hate to cut it, but we're done, baby.
Well, let me give you this one way out. This is a Thoreau quote. It says, for every 1,000 people hacking at the branches, there's one person hacking at the root. And that's what we're doing here. We're hacking at the taproot of these people's jurisdiction and power.
That's it. Man, you got your voice back after an hour. You're doing good. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow. William Mummy is going to be joining me for the next two nights. Stay with us. We'll see you then. Bye.
Gold, ever climbing as the dollar.